Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So today, I'm bringing back on a returning co-host from 2016. And not just anywhere in 2016, but actually, this was a returning co-host who we actually recorded live over lunch while attending the Thrive Make Money Matter event in San Diego. And I believe that was around late October, maybe up until the first, I think November 1st was the actual final date closing out that weekend. But we sat down over lunch because we were just hustling so much with energy and connecting. And this Thrive event, which we've talked about many, many times over past episodes on this show, a lot of powerful guests, a lot of powerful people. And I'm looking forward to catching up with this gentleman. So this guy, you can find him anywhere pretty much online under the brand Live Great Lifestyle. But you can also go straight to his website, which is lukedeprone.com. And obviously, Luke, welcome back to the show, brother.
Thanks for having me, man. Nice to do this without, you know, a fork in my mouth or a hamburger in my face or whatever we were eating. I don't even remember.
Hey, man, I think we were all eating something relatively healthy because you being a fellow fitness buff and me being a fitness buff. And then, Tony was hanging out, yep. The Insta guy. And I believe he still is the Insta guy. So yep. shout out to Tony. And so Luke, man, dude, we've been following each other online ever since Thrive. You pretty much have similar feed posts that I do as far as, I'm looking at your Instagram feed right now. There's looks like it's a greens salad or something. So you just have more beautiful photos because to our listeners, this guy is based out on the West Coast in Cali and bounces around. He can just, for people who've never been to California, you can pop back over to Arizona. It's so easy from California to get around the West. So, but Luke, man, catch us up. What's been up?
What's new, man? Well, I actually just got back from a mastermind myself, speaking of, you know, business stuff and things like Thrive. So I was just in Vegas.
Did you rock the beard at the mastermind?
I did have the beard. Yes. I threw everybody through a loop who I had not met when I posted a photo of having shaved a beard. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So, you know, Vegas is always a trip, particularly for somebody who, if you're normally eating healthy and working out, to go dive into that land for a couple of days is, it's fun. It's fun to do and then step back and get back to reality and some healthy food and not having alcohol and all of those, you know, those more real life things.
It's like everything in moderation, man. Like this is sort of for our listeners, guys, we're recording this on Memorial Day weekend 2017. So he and I are always hustling so much that, yes, today is Monday, actually, of Memorial Day. And we are probably celebrating and honoring this in different forms and fashions. But in the end, we also can take an hour out of our time to put quality messaging out there. So I just want to respect the fact that you've taken time on a powerful day like this. And I'm sure you've got other events and things you're going to today to obviously honor a day like today.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to go, I'm going to go rock it with a few clients today.
So, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
As in fitness-wise?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So again, to our listeners, guys, you can go back on our website, livethefuel.com, and go back to episode 019, or you just do livethefuel.com/019. You can find obviously our first episode where it was actually titled Live Great Lifestyle and Biomechanics at Thrive, because we literally went out on lunch break during the conference and recorded this in a booth while trying to eat and drink. And it was obviously, episode 19 was pretty early on for the show. So,
yeah.
And actually, I think we pulled it off pretty well, man.
I mean, considering it was, you know, portable equipment and we're chowing down lunch, you know.
And I was the only podcaster recording live at that event, by the way. So
I think so. Yeah. Which is well done because there's about 450 people there. So
I thought we were close to six.
Was it? Okay.
I could have sworn I heard like 600 or something like that. But
I could be. There's
wait,
a lot.
Were you at the first Thrive?
I didn't go to the first Thrive.
Okay. So, because that's why I was like, maybe the first Thrive was 450, second Thrive was 600. And again, to our listeners, that's Thrive, Make Money Matter. It's a big, big event. I mean, like Luke just talked about coming back from a mastermind event. I literally consider that like a mastermind conference. I don't know. How would you refer to that?
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely come back buzzing, obviously with ideas, no question. And I think the overall message of a for-purpose business is pretty powerful. And that I think gets everybody pretty jazzed when you come
back.
Yeah,
let's pause on that. There's so many things you and I can be catching up on, but since you brought that up, why did you and I and probably every other person at the event walk away with that powerful message? I mean, besides the fact that obviously a lot of great speakers were justifying it.
You know,
how do you talk to it?
So I think most people intuitively want to help other people. And you saw it, you know, we're fortunate in the fitness industry. I was actually talking to my brother-in-law about this, who's kind of working on a startup. And, you know, we're lucky in that we get to touch people pretty closely, in the sense of we're just one degree away from change, right? As a CrossFit coach, or again, the coaching that I do. So I can see a change in someone's life, and I get a lot of reward and feedback from that. Versus say you're somebody who, if you make software, well, you know, your software helps somebody eventually down the line. Whereas we're right hands on, and we're like the, you know, as close as you can get to seeing someone having a positive change. And at Thrive, it was pretty evident listening to people who would get up, who maybe they were just starting their business. They had a big dream or vision. They weren't sure what they wanted to do, but a pretty consistent theme was you heard people talking about helping people. And so I think the make money matter aspect really does resonate with people. Again, I think intuitively people are looking, they want to make a difference. They want to connect with people. Yeah, people want to make money. But that was something that was pretty common to hear, even from people who didn't have anything going, but like Pencils for Promise. I mean, when they get up and talk about their message, people are really blown away by that. And I think we all deep down want to have, you know, whether it's bigger purpose, bigger connection. I think that's a pretty consistent theme there.
Yeah. It's funny because obviously that was probably the higher level message that I definitely took away, because we did so many things at that event to impact just positive messaging, making money matter. You brought up Pencils of Promise. Heck, shout out to our boy, PJ.
Yeah.
I mean, we helped him obviously build, or they will be building his school. And he actually, I think he called it Thrive Academy, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he named it Thrive Academy. So that's just one example out of that. But also to realign that messaging, and I love, because like briefly what you just mentioned, something about obviously we all need to make money. And I like to be transparent for people. And I like, you know, I struggle with money as I've grown over the years, because I've had the highs and the lows, and it's a very educational process. And I think one of the underlying principles that actually always held me back was I have no problem making money. I tell people all the time, like, dude, we can all make money. If you have the right mindset, you lose your money, you'll make more money. I've done it over time and time again. I think one of the messages I took out of this was not just aligning ourselves with purpose, have a purpose-driven business, because that is just very clean, and it takes away that a lot of the, I guess, stigma of, oh, I got to make a lot of money. I'm like, well, if you're aligning with purpose, you're also giving back more while you're making money. So it's a great fun alignment. And but I think part for me was also a couple of the speakers really talked to the fact that, like Grant Cardone, that guy's crazy. Holy crap, yes. That guy was hilarious. But he was like, basically, you know, dude, man, it's okay to make money. Like, why does everybody think it's weird and inappropriate for people to talk about being rich and successful? And I admit it, like me growing up, I never had a lot of money. So I always looked at it as, oh, that rich guy or that rich family. And I've always wondered like what your thoughts were on that. Cause it's like, dude, we're coming up on Thrive again this year. So I'm looking forward to figuring this out.
Look at what people are like exposed to. I mean, so yeah, there's shows like, Secret Millionaire, which actually at this mastermind, I just got to hear James Malinchak speak and met him. Super nice guy.
No shit. He was there.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's about 20 of us. And yeah, super nice guy.
Dude, your West Coast masterminds are way better than the East Coast. I swear to God, I'm going to start my own out here. I just don't hear about as many fun masterminds as when I'm like following all you guys. I'm like, what the hell?
There's a little more going out here on out here, but I think, you know, it's funny, like, look at what you're exposed to. You're exposed to something like, you know, Kim Kardashian. I mean, like, you're exposed to like rich people on TV, like Desperate Housewives, and it's like rancid, terrible. Like, where's the theme of, again, making money matter in the mainstream? You don't see as much of it. And even when you think of, you know, obviously like for-profit versus a nonprofit, most people's idea of, I think even like a charity is, oftentimes struggling. It's the people outside a grocery store, you know, trying to hustle you to get money. So I think there's a disconnect between seeing people who are wealthy that do positive things versus you see the Kim Kardashians of the world. And, you know, that's kind of what's in people's face. It's like, that's what being rich is.
Yeah, I will agree with you on that, because unfortunately, that's why one of my best practices I teach people all the time is like, get rid of cable, man. Like, stop surrounding yourself with I call it the triple N, the negative news networks, right? Like, those three N's, man, do not belong together. You got to break that apart. And one of the ways you do it is you stop getting the newspaper. Some people argue with me on this, and I'm like, well, that's education. I'm like, no, it's what they choose to put in that. Magazines, newspapers, traditional cable. I have nothing. I have none of it. I mean, we have an Apple TV and that's it. So
I'm on your side of that. That's the Tim Ferriss, someone else will tell you if something big is going on. And what's nice is, honestly, if there's something that's happening in the world that you do need to know about, you are a Google away.
Yeah.
So as soon as you catch wind of it, you can find out everything you need to know. And think how inundated we are with information through your news feed on Facebook, the news app. I had to delete that from my phone because I found myself using that as my Kim K to look at what crazy stuff was going on.
Oh, well, at least the iPhone finally lets you delete those indigenous apps because for a while we couldn't even get rid of them. And now I'm like, they actually let you literally delete the app off the iPhones. So there's your hack to listeners, guys. I mean, he just gave you a great one here. If you're an iPhone user, for the longest time, anything that was installed stock from Apple, they wouldn't let you delete the app. And I've gotten rid of that one and a bunch of other ones. It's just, I never used them. It was just cluttering my phone.
Yep.
So,
you know, another thing that I did that I found from a productivity standpoint that was very helpful, and it seems so trivial that it shouldn't do anything. Obviously, we use Facebook and Instagram for marketing, but even myself, it's like I'll find myself just habitually picking up my phone and just, you know, scrolling. I'm like, what am I doing? By just moving those icons to the second screen on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Was such an easy thing, because when I pick up my phone, I log in. If I see on the first page, it's like I have my schedule for clients, I have Duolingo app, right? I could open Duolingo and like maybe do some Spanish flashcards. But if that Facebook app was there, again, it became like a habitual, like, oh, just click on it. And by just moving that to one page over where I have to, you know, swipe the screen, that's reduced the amount of bullshit time on social media versus tactical time a ton. I mean, I wish I had a percentage, but it's been a lot.
Yeah. So do you do the app groupings too, where you condense them into squares? Like,
I don't, but yeah, that'd be useful. Yeah. Oh, my phone's a mess. I didn't want to see it.
Well,
yeah.
The cool thing is, so I haven't done what you've done. All my social media is technically on the first page, but because I've condensed, like I have a square just with everything that it relates to Instagram, like anything that I would do my quotes or my custom like image design, all that's grouped into like an Instagram square, and then I have a Facebook square. But that's a great hack you just said. But then another thing is, like, if that actually is coming up on the screen, I don't know if the glow is too much, but
too bright.
Yeah, it's too bright. But you have those little red numbers popping up.
Yeah.
Again, hack your phone, go into your notifications and say, you know what? I don't want the little red numbers coming up saying that there's two pending, you know, things or three pending things. Like, hey, when I get in there, I'll get in there. Now, I will say, I don't know about you, but I've actually had to open myself up a little bit more, and I'm okay with it. I've been adapting over the past few months, but I started allowing more people to communicate with me over Facebook Messenger. I don't know if you've seen that as well.
It's been
like, I felt like, because one of the takeaways from Thrive, I forget who said it was, maybe it was the Irish guy, Phil, his name. He was talking about being approachable and being accessible. And some people feel like they get so successful, so rich, so powerful that now they've reduced their approachability. And that has to be managed to a certain point. But that's where it's like I've turned off all my notifications for a lot of these apps. But when it comes to like the Facebook Messenger, I will allow that one because that's become a communication channel. And
That's funny. That's the one I actually just recently disconnected. And here's why. So again, psychologically, and Facebook knows this, and we talk about, again, thinking about managing our energy and our time, whether it's, you know, from a nutrition, health, business. So that, you know, that messenger would pop up with a little red and just knowing, oh, someone's reached out to me. Somebody wants to talk to me. What's going on? And I'd go and I would click on that. Even if I was in the middle of something, that little, I mean, it was like a Pavlov's dog thing, like that little red, I'd go to it. And Facebook, so that they've realized this because I disconnected that. And every once in a while, a red dot pops up and I'm like, hey, that's weird. I've disconnected it. No, what it is a notification to let me know that I have turned off notifications.
That's what I have all the
like,
time
come
right
on.
Now. No, I've done that. You are right. I have that. And every time I go into the settings, you can't get rid of the red exclamation point. And I'm like, dude, I get it, but back it down, bro. Like, I don't need it, okay? Leave me alone.
And it's just time. I mean, everybody's fighting, obviously, for your attention and time. And so how do you protect it?
Well,
it's
and
the
let's
most...
be real. You have clients. All right. I've dealt with, God, I'll go back to corporate world type of communications stuff. We talk about, oh, what's your SLA, right? Your service level agreements. So like, what is your service level agreement or AKA expectations you're setting with your clients or your friends or your connections? So it's like, hey, man, if I get back to you in a day or two, the world ain't coming to an end. Okay.
Right.
Now, if you have some type of business or relationship where you have people who need to reach you quickly, they're probably not going to do it over Facebook Messenger. They're probably going to call you.
Right. Yeah. I've had to set up, you know, with certain clients, I'm extremely accessible to my clients. However, with certain things like scheduling, it's like, hey, I need you to schedule via email, because if I have there's just too many touch points at this point in most people's lives between, I mean, multiple messengers on social media apps, multiple emails for many people, to be honest, phone, text, and all of a sudden you're wrangling cats. So for me, setting parameters of, hey, these type of messages, if you just need a quick thing, you can text, shoot me a message. But, you know, for like something like scheduling, I need it all to be somewhere because I'm going to lose it. And, you know, it's going to get out of control.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm glad you're bringing this up because, I mean, again, for our listeners, guys, if you go to LukeDepron.com, that's his name, Luke, he's got it right on his website, Get Lean, Healthy, and Fit. And I'm going to go right to those second words there, the healthy, and the third, the last one, the fit. Healthy and fit, this isn't just physical. And I'm constantly, especially more and more this year, I think 2017 has really become, for me, the year of mindset. I just spoke at an event a couple weeks ago, and almost every single speaker, as we listened to every speaker going up on stage, we all ended up admitted that when we got up, I completely threw my pre-designed conversation that I was going to have out the window. We just kept focusing on mindset. I just lived in the moment because we just ended up all focusing on mindset. But obviously, we spoke to it from a different perspective from each of our backgrounds. And that's one thing I got to keep reminding people. My guys, healthy and fit isn't just physical. I think obviously, you go to this guy's website. Go to Luke's site to the listeners, guys. He's a fit dude. All right, so he clearly knows how to stay fit and live the lifestyle. But a lot of this, what we're talking about here today, is mindset. And anybody can go to the gym and just put in the reps, so to speak, and do the exercises. But also, do you have the bulletproof mindset to keep that going? Have you built this into your lifestyle?
Yeah, it's funny. The gym part, I tell people, for a lot of us, it's like, that's not the work. You know, as somebody who likes to say, oh, I work hard. And it's like, you know, to go do some 80-pound split squats, that's not patting myself on the back and saying I'm working hard, because that's easy and fun. That's not the hard, and that's not the work for me. The work would be, I need to work on the mobility today, or I need to do some meditation, and having the mindset to kind of do the stuff that maybe you don't necessarily want to do, but the high priority stuff. And it's interesting, that messaging on there, lean, healthy, and fit. Almost everybody starts the fitness stuff with the physique goal, but it's the health aspects, both emotionally, mentally, and physically, that I think keep people going. And I'm sure you've experienced this as a coach. It's really fun. I was just talking to somebody yesterday about this. It's really fun to hear someone try to describe how good they feel once they start improving their health.
Oh, God, yeah. Because there's a hormonal shift. There's a chemical shift. I'm just going to, while I'm talking to you, I'm going to bring up your site for the people on the YouTube video feed when we publish this, because here you go. Here's what I was just talking about. Boom, right there. Get lean, healthy, and fit. But when you start getting those physical responses from the body, when the body starts communicating back to you and talking back to you, and you get some of that through the brain, through just, I don't know how to explain it. Like you're just, there's a powerful nervous system response too. There's all these different things that start happening when you start getting your act together. Mm-hmm. But again, there's a lot of those, and again, you being a trainer and everything else, there's a lot of early on stuff that people get high off of. They get that early high. And then all of a sudden that flattens out, or maybe flatlines a little bit, and they don't realize that, wait a minute, there was more to this than just that first 30-day high.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's almost getting into maintenance in the sense that, I was at a cookout yesterday, and me and a guy were talking. this is just getting built out, this website. So no judgment here. Still fine.
Hey, man, we're living in the moment. You gotta show, because like, what we show here today, and then when we have you back on again in the future, well, it's cool to show like where you've come from too. So that's why I love like showing where people are at. I mean, and honestly, there's a lot of people who don't even have websites. So
I have too many websites. That's the problem.
Yes. Well, and we talked about that. We'll get into that a little bit later, but you talk about condensing and branding and all that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, continue on what you're saying here.
So I'm trying to think, where was I going with that? What the hell was I saying?
Well, we were kind of leaning back towards, I just got done mentioning the whole, people get that 30-day high and now it's let's start programming something into a more of a long-term lifestyle here. So,
yeah. So I think a lot of people fail to realize. So to me, being healthy and fit, a level of fitness, you don't have to be an extreme athlete, but to me, it's almost a fundamental pillar. If you're not, you know, if you don't have your health, if you don't have a degree of fitness, you're just not going to operate at the highest level, period. Like, I don't care what you're doing. I think of it as one of those core table legs, just like obviously having a healthy mind. And so for a lot of people, getting it into how do I make this last in the long haul? So there's, I think, philosophical approaches there to exercise and obviously nutrition to making that work. But once people achieve that and they start to realize, okay, I'm operating as a mom better because I'm active, or I'm a better business owner, whatever it is that you're really into. That to me is kind of the ultimate achievement we're trying to acquire, to where it's consistent, because it's like showering, right? Like, mm-hmm. How many days are you going to go without showering before you're like, man, I just don't feel right. This isn't good. This isn't me showing up to the, you know, to my best ability because I'm smelly and dirty. And I think without your health and fitness, you're kind of in the same thing. You're just not operating at an optimized level.
Yeah. Actually, that's a great key word there, optimized level. A lot of people are using nowadays, and I use it myself. We throw on the words hack or hacking. I'm trying to hack this, hack that. We can go back to the same reference here, optimization. You're optimizing your lifestyle. Whatever key word you're throwing out there, what Luke and I are talking about here today for you listeners is that it's very easy to find a short-term solution. But again, the short-term solution is going to have some crashing and burning involved here, guys. Like, you guys got to start building things out in a long-term perspective. Like, for example, I talked to a guy, and he contacted me over Facebook maybe almost a month ago. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm ready. I want to go on your nutrition program and everything else. And I was like, cool. All right. I was like, well, what's your why? And I know you and I can geek out about whys. But I was like, listen, he's like, I don't have the money right now because I'm on a budget, but I'm going to set it aside. I'm like, well, what are you going to do now for yourself to start building, you know, the road, so to speak? And I was like, hell, I mean, even just start weed whacking a trail here, through the woods. Like, he's like, once I have the money, then I'm good. I'm like, well, that's a short-term mindset. Yes, I want to put you on a program and help you along your way because I know I've helped people with that. But I was like, what are you doing right now? So I literally, and he's not even a paid client. I was like, listen, throw money out the window. I was like, when you leave this communication with me today, and we had a live video feed like you and I are doing right now. And I said, when you leave this conversation today, I was like, I'm going to give you one piece of homework. If you want to work with me, you better come back with me with a really strong why. Because I can't create that for you. And I've talked about this on other episodes with other people as well. And it's like, dude, if you don't have a strong why that's going to bulletproof, that almost makes you tear up, like it's going to hold yourself accountable. It doesn't matter what program I put you on, what coach I send you to, what mentor I send you to. Like, this is the one thing that you have to have accountability for. So I was just wondering how you would rein in on something like that.
I mean, it's the same conversation. So for me, again, I look at most people when that conversation starts and you say, well, like, why do you want to do this? Most people, it really is physical. I mean, like, that's their superficial starting point. Mm-hmm. But getting somebody to go deeper than that, even if it's just one layer, but so say you want to lose 20 pounds, that's a great goal, but like, really, why do you want to lose 20 pounds? And you could say, oh, I could go to the beach because I'm going on this vacation, I'm getting married, but just going deeper and deeper and deeper. And obviously the deeper that you can go, the better. Mm-hmm. How are you going to feel? How's your life going to be different when you're 20 pounds lighter? And you start answering some of those questions, like, what are you going to do? Who are you going to be? How do you envision your life? Because there is, we know at the end of the day, when you lose 20 pounds, we've seen all of these other things. I have more energy. Oh my gosh, I just feel really good. And people start talking about the energy.
Oh, there's improved self-worth, self-confidence.
And getting people to start thinking that even though they haven't experienced it, and kind of, you know, dream it out. Like, what is the most confident version of yourself? What would you be doing? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh man, I actually would, you know, I'd get up and do karaoke. I don't know, whatever it is. Like, or I'd have more, I'd get up in front of my sales team and actually pitch this big idea. Sorry if my phone's, if I'm blowing up on you.
No, you're not. But it's a valid point. Real quick, what you just said about get up in front of your sales team, for example. Okay. I guarantee you, I've spent years in sales and marketing. I still do it to this day for my clients. And guys, like, guess what? There is a physical representation there. Hands down, if a company is going to look at you to be one of their next sales and marketing professionals, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. They're looking at your physical appearance as well, because it's not a beauty pageant thing. That's not what I'm talking about. When they see somebody who's healthy and fit and their energy levels are through the roof, because they are so healthy and fit mentally and physically, they see energy, they see results, they see somebody that holds themselves accountable to that certain lifestyle. And so, because I used to do a lot of hiring years ago, so I see that and I'm like, great, I can translate that into the position. I could see that that person's probably going to be able to deliver the same intensity day in and day out because they have the lifestyle to maintain what we're going to get out of them. Yeah. And so I think it's important you brought that up. That's why I wanted to pause real quick on that, because I'm like, hey guys, I'm sorry. It's not saying, oh, we only hire pretty people. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about it shows that you've put your lifestyle at a priority, so then everything else in your life benefits from that. Your family, your children, your friends, your love life, your job, your career, your education, if you're going back for an MBA. Dude, I don't care who you are. If you want to go back for an MBA, which I think is a waste of money, but anyway, if you want to go back for an MBA and you're on nights and weekends, you're in school, you need energy, you need good rest, you need good health, good fitness, good energy. I mean, there's no way you're going to be able to tackle all this stuff in your life unless you're not taking care of yourself.
It goes back to, again, showing up at an optimized state, and it's you can see it from the outside looking in. Here's a way to actually maybe hammer this home, coming from, again, so the in-person work I do is more biomechanics, postural correction. To me, it's just what anybody needs to do to exercise properly, but again, we can call it corrective exercise or postural restoration. So you're probably familiar with Amy Cuddy's power posing.
Oh man, I haven't talked about that in a while.
So let's extrapolate this for a second. So for people who don't know, Amy Cuddy is a researcher, and what they determined was, in 2 minutes of power posing, which a power pose would be standing with your arms overhead as if in a celebratory state, or with your hands at your hip like Wonder Woman. And what they found, I believe it was, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was through a blind judoka players, they found, and these guys won their match at the end of the day. What do? When they go to celebrate, they bring their arms overhead and, you know, they kind of pump their fists and they're pumped up. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't a learned behavior because they're blind. So why do these guys do this? And what they found is, in 2 minutes of these poses, you can, I think, and I'm going to butcher the numbers, I think you could raise testosterone by 28%. And you can think of testosterone as like a confidence hormone. And I think it was lowering cortisol by 24%, which is a stress hormone. So for me, I extrapolate that out and I think, all right, if 2 minutes of just standing up is going to have that much of a hormonal change, and again, how you present yourself, whether you're on stage or going for an interview, what does a lifetime of poor posture do? Mm. What does, you know, if you, because you can stand up with poor posture, right? But what about actually having full range of joint motion at your hips and your pelvis? And what does the nutrition do? All of those things, if just 2 minutes through standing tall, you can have a hormonal change, what does a lifestyle of, you know, sedations, you know, sitting down, I can't even imagine.
Well, I mean, for example, you and I right now are standing having this conversation. Right. I'm at my standing desk. I have lamp up mounted up here. My microphone boom is up here. Like, I'm standing here. So I'm more alert. I'm more focused. I feel like I after spending years in the call center world many years ago, I was like, hell no, man. Like, even when I was managing the call center world, I was that guy. Everybody's like sitting in their cubies and I'm up standing around like talking, and like that's just how I managed my team. Everybody knew that I was the energy guy because I'm like, hell no, I'm not going to sit in a freaking chair if I don't want to.
And I picture you as like the Wolf of Wall Street headset guy going around the room. Like,
yeah, because it's like, dude, it's like you see, when you're down, man, your shoulders roll forward, your head, your neck. I mean, people talk about neck pain but I can get so many different angles with this. But what you just talked about, like something as simple as when you stand up, are you standing up with presence and power? Like you said, power poses, right? Like,
yeah.
How many of us are unconsciously standing there, shoulders drip? I mean, Amelia, I just did this on the video, but like my shoulders are just, I'm just standing here like this. And my head kind of naturally starts to dip a little bit too. But when I set my shoulders back, my head gets corrected. My neck posture gets corrected. Again, you could talk more to this because you're the biomechanics guy. Right. But yeah,
well,
I'm with you.
I think of it from even just, again, the energetic states, right? And that we were talking about as far as, you know, what's your why? What are you showing up with? And being healthy, being fit, and these not 20 pounds that you lost, it's not maybe as, you know, maybe you can't measure it, but we've all seen it. Somebody shows up who's dove into it and adopted a health and fitness lifestyle, something that they can keep up for the long haul, and they have a different state. I mean, there's a different energy about them. And to me, that's the big win. The weight loss is, you know, the tip of the spear, but the good stuff is really what we're talking about, having more energy, having more confidence, having more presence, and it's really noticeable. And it's, to me, it's probably the most fun thing to see from someone. I love having them try to explain how they feel after they've gotten there, because you can't. It's hard to explain how good it feels to feel good.
Yeah, I agree. And just for our listeners, I on the video feed, I quickly shared my screen because he had brought up Amy Cuddy, and she's been a TEDx speaker and everything else. And actually, I brought up just one of her TEDx, I guess the way they published about her. But one of her points in here is her research on body language reveals that we can change other people's perceptions. And then obviously says, oh, and perhaps even our own body chemistry. So what Luke's talking about here, there's so much validity behind this besides just him and I geeking out on it. I mean, there is, and she's a social psychologist. So he and I are coming at this from the fitness world and the physical conversation, but you got somebody at the psychological level, a famous social psychologist talking about this. And I also have regular co-hosts on the show from an organization called Mind of the Athlete, who's from here, where I'm at here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And they have three different female sports psychologists. The founder, he's a sports psychologist, and they have a sports nutritionist on staff. They work with elite colleges and even they have a corporate program, parenting program, kids program, but they all talk about this from a psychological perspective. Like, how are you showing up? Again, there's physical benefits, but the mental benefit is so powerful.
Yeah, it shouldn't be really shocking to people, but again, getting back to eating, say, just a more whole food, real food, you know, lots of plants, lots of vegetables, good quality meat products, paleo-ish, whatever you want, you know, no sugar, no grains, whatever you want to call it. Getting back to kind of eating how you're supposed to, it shouldn't be shocking that by giving your body what it kind of intuitively needs and desires, you're going to operate at a higher level.
Oh yeah, because it's like,
it's
okay,
not crazy.
There's lots of buzzwords out there, right? What is your macronutrient, micronutrient? Mm-hmm. In the end, the key word there is nutrients. And yeah, if you're eating a lot of manufactured crap, you have a huge reduction in nutrient density. And we're already having to struggle with nutrient density because of the raping of our soil that we've done in this country. So we're already coming in at a low point when it comes to food quality. And then you go and compound that with fueling your body with manufactured crap. It's like, wow, man, you really got to focus on how you're sourcing your food, how you're fueling your body, because it does, all this stuff ties back together. We already in this episode have been talking about mindset and the psychology, and we're talking about the biomechanics you're talking about, which is the physical posturing and the power posing. And now we're talking about how you fuel the body, right? The nutrition, the nutrient density. It's so amazing. Like when I get somebody who's basically living a really crappy life, and then you start refueling their body, and over a 30, 90, maybe, well, we'll call it the 16-week transformation. It's like, whoa, dude, holy crap. Like, I'm more energized. I feel like I'm more awake. My stress levels have come down.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, man, like there's something to this.
Yeah. And once you hit that point, that's where it's kind of easy going, because you know, when you're starting out and you're like, shit, I don't really want to give up Pepsi and I really like Oreos. You're not weighing it against anything because you haven't got there.
Yeah.
But almost everyone gets to a point where it's like, wow, Pop's too sweet, I don't like it. Gummy bears have a weird texture on my teeth, I don't like it. And it's not deprivation, you just don't like it.
Yeah.
And you,
but somehow you fell into a negative habitual process and just was eating them anyway.
Well, and this is something I talk a lot about with my clients, to remove some of the emotional guilt. You have to understand, even me this weekend, I'm in Vegas, I'm drinking alcohol, I'm eating definitely poorer quality food. It is challenging in certain aspects, in that you are chronically being marketed to. The manufacturing process, and we can go into this, the manufacturing process of food and how it does manipulate hormones in your body, and how it is split tested from a marketing standpoint to, they've got that color down, they've got how much salt, sugar, fat, the crunch of the chip, like literally how hard that chip is. They've made it so it is so hyper pleasurable that you're going to overeat. And if you don't have this understanding, you're going to fall back on this, like, I'm a piece of shit, I have no willpower. When the reality is, you're just fighting against this monster.
We had this conversation a few weeks back. I forget who I was doing it with, but I'm a marketing guy, not just a fitness guy. And I studied psychology when I'd studied the marketing.
Right.
So it's like, okay, let's think about this. You got a multi-million, multi-billion dollar company like Coke or Pepsi or I don't know, any of these other cracker companies, chip companies, like Lay's, whatever. You don't think that they didn't hire somebody at a PhD level of psychology to help them figure out not just the wording and their branding and the advertising? It's all tied in. And then what you just talked about, they're also then tying it back into the physical process. Like, how's that going to taste? Mm-hmm. Hello, that's why sugar is so rampant. Sugar is more addicting than cocaine. We have the studies. People
I'm an
talk about
sugar-holic.
It. Yeah, right? It's like, dude, your brain gets addicted. So if I was a food company and I wanted somebody to keep buying my stuff, I'm probably going to put some sugar in there.
have you read The Extraordinary Science of Addictive Junk Food? It's just a short article.
No.
If you haven't, so it's on. This is something that honestly, almost for anybody listening to this, if you are trying to lose weight, improve your health, it's a short read. It's just an excerpt on the New York Times. It's something I make all my clients, or recommend to all my clients, to read. Because I find most people, there's a level of guilt that comes with when people are trying to adjust their nutritional habits, they tend to stumble. I know very few people who say, all right, I'm going to eat a paleo-ish diet and it's going to be smooth sailing. There's going to be some stumbling blocks. This article right here will liberate you if you've ever carried emotional guilt from whether you're.
I love how they're showing a Dorito on there.
Oh, it's Scott. It's incredible. I mean, with the Dorito, I'll just tell a quick.
This is from when I Googled it, there's a lot of different posts about it, and this is just the one that came up from the New York Times Magazine. This is from published in 2013.
Yeah,
so.
That's the one. It's a short read. I mean, just the. You know, dive into one little piece of it. Yeah. I mean, like that Dorito, there's a reason they talk about this, that you'll never see a single flavored Dorito. Like, you never will see rosemary flavored Doritos, because there's a thing called flavor saturation.
Yes.
That rosemary flavor, you'll get kind of used to it. And you're like, I've had enough. But the reason that nacho cheese chip is nacho cheese and it has like five different cheeses, your taste buds will chronically be kind of hunting and trying to figure out, what am I eating?
And it's not actual cheese. It's five different chemical cheeses, or cheese chemicals that their flavor profiles, everything you're talking about here. Like, this is shit done in a freaking lab, people. Like, this is what we're talking about here. Like, they have figured out, hey, let's confuse the taste buds. Yep. Let's give them five different chemical based, basically reproductions of what cheese would taste like. And then, like you just said, let's confuse the hell out of you, because then you'll just keep noshing. And obviously, I mean, and I can get into this other thing from the hormonal perspective, from how it basically screws your leptin and ghrelin hormones, which is, again, one's there, hey, we're trying to satiate. One should be telling you, hey, I'm satiated, I'm fine. But the other one's like, well, it throws it all off, man. Like, they figured all this out.
Yep. And even this article, I think they mentioned, or maybe it's something else I was reading. You read this and you think, oh my God, these, like, what bastards. But The reality is they're just making a product that you're going to like the most. It's almost like, how many of us are addicted to our phones and chronically on it? Would we want Apple to make our phone like lag and not do very well, so we don't want to be on it all the time?
Right.
No, we want good, you know, quality. We want things that we like, but you need to have this awareness, because when you're trying or starting to make these lifestyle shifts, you need to know what you're fighting against to stop this, the guilt. Because it's something I see so many people carry guilt. And I'm like, you just don't know. I'm like, I would smash. This is the one I always use, the example. I was at a friend's house. This was probably a year ago. I'm literally talking nutrition, having the same conversation. And he had Reese's Pieces, the little like M&M looking ones. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't even like peanut butter. And I couldn't stop eating them because it's sugar. I don't like peanut butter, but I'm eating it because of the sugar. I'm like, ooh, sugar. I'm a sugarholic. I just don't want to stop. I know this. I understand it.
And you still did it anyway.
To my body. Yeah. That's why, you know what I do? I don't have that at my house.
Yeah.
I don't surround myself with temptation and thinking. The best way I put it is this: you can't use willpower to practice moderation as an eating strategy. You can only use willpower to practice moderation as a buying strategy.
I like that. That's a good point. Now, how long have you been teaching that to people?
A few years. That's the only way that it works. You are going to, again, they've done the science, they've done the research. You're going to overeat on those. And so many people surround themselves with temptation and they're trying to use willpower. And it's just, you're eventually going to run out, as everyone knows.
Well, let's talk a little bit real quick here on the abundancy mindset, right? So we've just hinted at how there's companies out there already working against you, and they're going to find a way to mess with your taste buds so you become addicted and you keep consuming. And so that's basically an overabundancy of basically crap going into your body. Well, let's flip it, right? Like, I don't want to just stay on the negative here, but I want to take something out of that and do a complete flip of the coin with you, because I know you're going to click with me on this. Is like, let's flip this back over to the abundancy mindset, because I want to go full circle back to mindset here, because I think it's important that people understand how you're helping people. Because guys, it's okay. Like, he just admitted he goes through the same thing. Me, dude, I got done real quick. This weekend, I had the annual Murph workout, the Murph challenge in the CrossFit world on Saturday. And then yesterday, I did a charity ride, 65-mile road bike ride with 4,000 feet of climbing up a mountain feedback. So like, I was like, oh, everybody was like, wait a minute, you're going to go do that ride the day after Murph? And I did Murph with the full 20-pound weight vest as well. So my quads were just like, you know, 300 air squats with 20-pound weight vest. You know, it's like, yeah, my legs were already shot. I was like, yeah. I like to punish myself. Let me see. I have the abundancy mindset, right? I'm going to get after it. Dude, halfway up this climb called Hawk Mountain, it's just, I was in the lowest gear. And I think my speedometer said I was doing between 4.5 and 5 miles per hour. And I was like, all right, this is pretty steep.
Yeah.
But I also wasn't ready for it, and my legs were already fried. But this is where the mind has to come into it. Like, I knew that if I stopped and got off my bike, it would be that much harder to get going again. Now, granted, I've had years to program my mind to this, to get to that abundancy mindset of knowing that I'm capable of that much more. I could thank the firefighting background, which, you know, we have talked about prior on the show. But like, how do you, I guess, help people like you just talked about here? We're being bombarded by psychologists and very intelligent marketing and intelligent science going into these laboratories and food manufacturing. So everybody's hearing this and be like, oh, I'm basically screwed. And it's like, no, dude, you're not screwed. Like, we have choices. Well, how do you build people's mindset up?
So, well, two things. First, let's address just the tangible side and say, there is an abundance of incredibly delicious tasting, healthy food.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, first, people have to realize it's not I'm giving up Reese's Pieces and I'm having raw broccoli, mm-hmm. right? We don't ever measure it equally, right? We take something that we love that tastes amazing and we measure it against the most bland, boring, and it's like, it doesn't need to be that. First, you have to accept the idea that there is incredibly delicious, healthy tasting food. Mm-hmm. So, and when you think about it and you're telling yourself, what am I really trying to do here? If I'm trying to lose weight, let's say, it's like, well, you're going to try to eat a little bit less food but you're going to do it through eating really incredibly tasting meals that are healthy. It's like, who wouldn't want to do that?
Well, and real quick also, let's be careful with that less food thing too, right? The only reason, this is only if people are guilty of overeating. It's very hard to overeat good quality whole food. When you're when you're eating quality proteins, healthy fats, and good rich quality vegetables like cruciferous vegetables with avocado and olive oil and everything else, we brought up that whole leptin and ghrelin thing earlier. Guess what, dude? Right. Like, they will actually be running like normal, and they'll be like, wait a minute, I'm full. Like, I can eat a ton of food. I'm a pig. After that bike ride, I think I had like three dinners. But it was all good, clean food. And also, you know, I slammed down a steak. Trust me, I'm not eating two steaks. My body's like, whoa, I'm good, at least for another hour or two.
So I prescribe to that, and I'm not necessarily a macro guy. So, yes, quality of food is going to dictate your – I'm sorry, quantity of food is going to dictate your weight. However, I see quality of food is going to dictate quantity.
Yes.
And I always use this with people. Imagine having a plate of the most amazing salmon, the most amazing whatever vegetable you like. So I'm going to say asparagus and French fries. And it's this massive plate. And I literally can't finish all of it. And we're sitting there socializing, and I'm completely full. And I loved every single piece of that. What's going to eventually happen? Where am I going to start nibbling the French fries?
Yeah.
Almost everybody. And it's like, so where are those excess calories coming in? Honestly, 99% of the time, it's from processed foods. You're not going to overeat, as you alluded to. When you're full, you're not going to reach for more asparagus. So the body is fairly, I think, self-regulating. And it doesn't have to be this mathematical equation where everything has to be tracked. Again, so there's, you know, the abundance mindset of you're getting to eat liberally lots of foods that are healthy and tasty. So, I kind of fall into that and that side of the coin on that.
Yeah, and real quick, you brought up broccoli. Guys, okay, garlic-infused olive oil. Throw a few drops into your water when you're steaming your broccoli. It infuses that garlic olive oil flavor into the broccoli. And then when you go and serve that steamed broccoli, you take out your cheese grater. You take a nice and high-quality, rich Parmesan, and you shred that puppy up over. Grind some Himalayan sea salt onto that. Boom. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny because I love using broccoli because if you gave me raw broccoli, it's like the one.
It's boring.
It's only like two vegetables I really don't like. I mean, I'll muscle broccoli down. I don't eat olives. I think they're terrible. I can't like the taste.
Oh, my girlfriend hates olives too. I wish I
liked them.
Yeah.
Oh, hate them.
But like, a lot of people don't like olives, but they like olive oil. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
I like olive oil.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the olives or capers, I can't do. But broccoli I like to use because raw broccoli to me is the epitome of like, gosh, this just like tastes like, you can tell you're just eating like earthy dirt. Like, you know, like, God, what, like I'm eating little miniature trees here. Like it's so, but like you said, I remember the best broccoli I've ever had. And it was roasted with some olive oil, lots of lemon juice, fresh basil. It was almost like a little pesto on there and it was incredible. And it's like, you can't weigh.
Slamming.
Yeah, you can't weigh giving up Reese's peanut butter cups to raw broccoli. Yeah. You got to weigh it against something that actually is going to taste good.
Well, and again, I think one of the we could geek out on nutrition and food and everything else, but what the biggest thing I have to teach people about whole food supplementation, and as the sad part is I have to say supplementation because a lot of people are so manufactured that I need to start teaching them to supplement the whole food back in until we can fully migrate them over because we've just been programmed by television and marketing and really good psychology that making good whole food is time consuming.
Right.
And it's not. It's just we've been listening or watching years of commercials saying, oh, TV dinners were faster. Oh my God. I used to eat TV dinners when I was a kid, right? I'm like, really?
Yeah.
That was like, that excited me. A little cardboard thingy with like plastic or foil over it and you nuked your. I'm like, really? I ate that crap?
The texture.
And like the Hungry Man, really? That was disgusting. Oh my God. But the
texture.
Yeah, exactly. But that, again, mouthfeel. They're programming all this stuff in. But the whole point here is like we just have to reverse the programming or reprogram yourself. That's all we're talking about. And I think for most people listening to this or watching this on the YouTube feed will be, guys, Luke's not rocking some serious rocket science here. I'm not either. We're just trying to help you guys understand that You got to start taking a step in the back to the right direction. We all were on the right direction at one point in different periods of our lives. And we've had good years and bad years. And maybe some of these listeners right now have had are already in a good year right now, but you're having those cheat days or you're having that bad Las Vegas trip.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it's like, dude, exactly. It's okay. Because
yeah.
I think part of this is that if you are 85% of the time rock solid and you have a couple of, putting life into living type of things like Vinny Tortorich says, it's like, hey, yep. Man, I'm just putting life into living. You'll be fine. It's okay.
Totally. It doesn't have to be 100%. It probably won't be, again, because of the, you know, the marketing, the temptation.
It's also too extreme. I think some people, you're pretty much guaranteed a breaking point. If you go 100%, you're eventually going to burn out.
Yeah.
You got to allow yourself a little fudge factor.
Yeah. And you can get away with it. That's the thing. And I did a video the other day, a Facebook Live, and I was talking about people are making macro decisions based on micro actions. And, you know, they make that one little mess up and you think, I blew it. It's all over. And you're living in this little, you're making decisions from this, you know, micro experience when you need to extrapolate it out to the macro. You know, was that meal really that bad for the week? Or let's go all the way out to the month. Or, you know, what's your overall nutrition been looking like in the last 2 months? And these are where we need to start making some changes and some adjustments on what we're actually doing. So, you know, don't let that little one little hiccup throw you off, because realistically, you can probably get away with it.
I think that's well said. So for our listeners,
I want to touch on, you asked about the abundance mindset.
Yes.
So here's something that I talk about I talk to clients about that I think is helpful.
All right.
If you're trying to make this shift into cleaning up your health and fitness and you're struggling, you need to take a look in your own life and realize you have mastery somewhere else, or you've developed mastery somewhere else. And if you can do it there, you can translate it over. Because oftentimes you're talking to a fitness coach, like take someone like myself. I was literally having this conversation with a client not too long ago. I go, look, man, this is easy for me. I go, this is my area. This is my Zen. This is my, you know, I have mastery here. I go, but I'm having to do the same type of work in other areas. So we all have our kind of area. Oftentimes it's in work where we have mastery. And knowing that, you can take those same tools and you can transfer them over and you can develop it somewhere else.
I think that's a powerful point that you just made. Thank you for bringing that back up. Because, so again, guys, listen, what he's really talking about here is that each and every single one of you have a strength, but we're always programmed to focus on the weaknesses. Like, for example, I have to go and work on that weakness, or I have to spend more time on that. And it's funny because the e-guide that I give away on my website, I have to overhaul that thing. It's been a couple of years. I want to freshen it up. But one of the books that I highly recommend is called Strengths Finder 2.0. Yeah. Right?
Big fan of that.
Dude, you take their little online exam thingy, and it's, you know, it's one of those advanced, you know, whatever. The whole point is you get this, it spits out the results and it tells you your top five strengths. Mm-hmm. And then you go back into the book and you don't read the whole book. You just focus on those four or five chapters, those four or five strengths that are your top strengths. Because especially as adults, but this does relate back to being kids, but it's like, guys, like, you could spend a ton of time working on your weaknesses, or you could figure out what are you crushing it at, lead with that. And then what you just said, Luke, is, okay, why am I great at that? And how can I translate that to other areas of my life and take that same level of commitment and dedication and mastery and just reapply that to help build that that new chapter? Like you, for example, right. You crushed it on the fitness side, the training side. You got the mindset piece. You got the podcast as well. But it's like, okay, well, you and I, we're trying to build something bigger. We're trying to build a business with purpose. We're trying to build our brand online. Like, you were always Live Great Lifestyle. Now you're trying to build some branding behind your name as well. Right. So, dude, guess what? To the listeners, guys, like, Luke is going through this right now, just from a business and a marketing and branding thing, that not obviously the fitness thing.
Yeah. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, oh my gosh, like the level of frustration and time waste and like banging my head against the wall. It parallels, again, the same struggle that someone may have, coming into a nutrition and a, you know, a fitness lifestyle shift, you know, trying to write articles when writing's not very, easy for me to do. And you know, it's like, well, you need to come up with tools and resources. So if we were speaking on the nutrition side, when somebody says, oh, I'm not a very good cook, it doesn't taste very good, so I don't like it. Cool, let's maybe consider outsourcing that. Where are the healthy restaurants in your area? Who? What about a food delivery service? On my end, I could say the same thing, like, hey, maybe we should try some voice dictation instead of sitting down at the keyboard and getting angry that it doesn't come out.
Yep.
Right? So again, you have mastery somewhere. And you just need to start looking at, like, well, what were those pieces that were useful for me to develop this here? And how can I kind of shift it and translate it that way? And once you do that, it can be a little bit easier. And then once you get to the point where you've done it, it's pretty easy. And that's the lifestyle. Like, how do we make that lifestyle shift? Well, you got to get there.
No, I love it, man. Like, I'm over on your livegreatlifestyle.com site now too. And it's like everything we're talking about, guys, again, you can go to either of his sites to learn more about him. And I believe you're eventually combining everything into one home, right?
Yeah.
So I love this statement you have on your site. Transform your life through the power of health and fitness. Forget the good life, live a great one. So again, back to his point here on the abundance mindset is, dude, you're already living a great life in other areas. Reapply it. Okay, let's hack that. And if you need help, you got somebody like Luke. He's going to help you dig down into those layers, right? Peel back the layers of the onion and help you realize that. And then if this is what you're working on, your health and your fitness and your conditioning, then great. He can help you transplant that over and start making some real gains.
And man, I tell people all the time too, like I said, I know everyone goes into it because of the physique, but I love asking people this. So of course, like, who doesn't want to have a good physique? I get that. But let me ask you this. If you're the last person on the planet, you probably still go work out, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go lift weights.
I'll have a couple of rest days probably, there might be some more R&R days, but you're going to get bored.
Yeah. And you're going to enjoy how you feel. Mm-hmm. And it really is. I mean, that transform your life. Once you can take the idea that all of those other things that you're passionate about, that you enjoy, like spending time with your family, going on vacations, it's going to up level. You're going to enjoy, if you go to Machu Picchu, you're going to take in the sights and get better photos if you're not sucking wind the whole time. And all you're thinking about is, holy shit, I'm tired. My legs are burning.
Yep.
Versus the guy who the hike wasn't too bad. And you're really getting to, taking the spirit and the energy of that area. So things, I really, truly believe it's your health and fitness are a fundamental pillar in your life. And without it, none of the other pieces are going to click fully.
Well said. Well, if you can't remember back to episode 19, it's okay. I'll refresh you. We've built a consistency thing here, and you just really closed on a really strong statement. But with everything happening right now with your brand and where you're going next, we always close the episodes with the co-host, you, really leaving behind just a powerful big picture message. And it could relate back to what you just said, or just say, hey, guys, if you're going to be following Luke in the coming months as he merges his websites and his brand continues to grow, like, what is that higher level message that you're trying to leave behind to really anybody who's starting to follow you or learn more about you, beyond just, hey, yeah, I'm a coach and I could train you and blah, blah, blah. Right. But it's like, what is your all-encompassing message you're trying to put out to the world?
I really did just say it. And the idea of that live great lifestyle. I'm a huge believer in the ripple effect of being healthy and fit. It's not just a physique, but I really think you're not operating your life at the highest degree if you're not healthy and fit. So if you're coming into it from a weight loss standpoint, that's great. That can get you in the door. But just hold on to the idea that you're going to up-level, honestly, the whole thing. So that's really the message of the Live Great Lifestyle. From a branding standpoint, it was originally Live Great Fitness. But I don't want people to just think it's not just about your fitness. It is about your life. I mean, and about the energy you wake up with as a dad. I mean, how you communicate to your wife. I think these are all things that are going to be impacted by your health and fitness. So that's the overarching theme.
I love that, man. Well, hang tight here. I'm going to give you a proper goodbye once we close out the show here. So again, guys, I mean, I'm just going to reshare his site here for you guys. Again, that's the Live Great Lifestyle. That's Luke, man. Make sure you're following him. He's on Instagram. He's on Twitter. He's on Facebook. He's everywhere. If you can't figure it out, just go to the website and he'll have all the links there for you guys. But again, this is what we're talking about, right? His website says it all. Life's better, healthy, and fit, okay? So we've talked about this before all the time on every single episode. Keep living the fired up epic life, guys. This is what it's all about. And we'll talk to you guys again soon. Hey there, Live the Fuel fans. Quick commercial break. Before we close out the episode, just wanted to give you some extra tips and tricks before we send you on your way. So again, thank you again for listening to the Live the Fuel show. I hope you got a lot out of this recent episode. More importantly, please subscribe to the show if you haven't subscribed yet. Stay in touch. Get me some feedback. Submit a review on iTunes or Stitcher. And get us the voice of you, the listener, so we can build this content back into the show and make sure that I'm actually taking you, the listener, into this design and future. As Live the Fuel grows. So again, subscribe, submit a review, stay in touch. Heck, on that point, go visit livethefueltank.com. Livethefueltank.com. That will take you to the link to our private Facebook group community where you can join and I can stay more in touch with you going forward outside of the podcast world. All right, last quick little piece here for you guys, some extra value. One, go to livethefuel.com main page. You'll see on there we have our free resources guide. If you are looking for free content and not having to pay for it, consider getting on my email list. You click on the button, send me my copy, get your Super Sevens resources guide. There's over 21 of my favorite online resources that I built into this little electronic guide for you guys. There's no cost. It'll just be emailed to you just by hopping on my email. Again, just thank you for listening. I want to give you some value. Second piece of my little extra nuggets of knowledge, if you want to call it this, is go to the resources section on the site. In there, I have three columns, health, business, lifestyle. And two, right off the bat, that I want to make sure you guys are taking advantage of is number one, eatpillynuts.com. And number two, villacapelli.com. Their logos are on the site. You got a big bowl of nuts there. And you got a cool big V, Power V logo. Both of those, if you use the discount code FUEL, F-U-E-L, you will get 10% off at checkout. So take advantage of that, please, and thank you. And more importantly, there's other companies linked on there. My nutritional and health alignment with Isagenix since 2010. The Pure Vitamin Club company for their kick-ass magnesium B12 and an awesome multi-cap. There's some additional business resources on there. Number one, Singularis IT. I go mountain biking and road cycling with the founder. This is a legitimate IT company. I don't care where you are in the world. You can use their services. We're talking about serious white glove level services. I've moved all of my IT solutions over to them, and I outsource them regularly for any future and onboarding clients down the road. And lastly, but not leastly, David Studio. If you have no clue who this guy is, guess what? He is my new audio engineer. This is the guy I've been having making it happen behind the scenes. I found him through the Fiverr world. So if you search for David, D-A-V-I-D, Studio on Fiverr, you can track this guy down. But guess what? He's also on the Upwork platform. He's on the People Per Hour platform. You can search for him through his real name. I've never literally physically met this guy or talked to him in person. We have been just met through the online world. But if you search for E-M-I-N, that's I believe pronounced Emin, and Fikic, which is F as in Frank, I-K-I-C, you can search for him in Upwork, People Per Hour. Oh, more importantly, just go to Fiverr like I did. But if you are a podcaster or somebody just looking to get quality audio engineering, this is your guy. So again, guys, I'll let you get back to your day. Thanks again for listening to Live the Fuel. We'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up, epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.